No one really knows what that robe looked like. The robe that Jacob gave his son Joseph. The Hebrew is actually very vague. We're not sure if it was a robe with long sleeves, which the translation you heard today speaks of, or if it was a robe of many colors. Remember Joseph and the Technicolor Dreamcoat musical that was written? We're not sure exactly what this robe looked like. All that we know is that it was ornate and special. And this robe would have been worn by royalty back in those days. Joseph was a boy who was loved. And his silly father not only adored him, but also favored him, which is not the best idea in parenting circles. Joseph was loved, and Joseph was naive. And Joseph loved God. And in this story that we hear today, Joseph's life turns on a dime. Everything goes from being perfect and wonderful to being horrific in one day, in a matter of hours, which, my friends, can happen to any one of us, you see. Joseph goes from being the adored son to being sold as a slave in just a matter of hours. Now, I must say, Joseph was kind of a dingbat, you know. I mean, he tattletales on his brothers when they aren't shepherding the sheep well. He goes back and tells his dad, again, not the brightest thing to do. So Joseph is walking into the area called Dothan. And evidently, for hundreds and hundreds of years, Dothan does not have any springs, no water. So Dothan, even today, has lots of pits because people will dig down to try to find water. It's a dry land. They need to find the water, so they dig these wells, and they'll go down and down until they hit something. So even today in the land of Dothan, we can see these deep, deep holes in the earth. And when Joseph was walking into Dothan, his brothers saw him coming and they said, oh my gosh, there's that, who knows what word they used. And at first they want to kill him. Luckily, the oldest brother probably has the most developed brain of all those teenagers, and he's the one that says, you know what, maybe not a good idea to kill him, but why don't we just dump him in the pit? They all agree. Imagine what it was like for Joseph, being naive, loving his brothers, coming towards them, expecting them to love him as he loves them, and all of a sudden finding himself stripped of his beautiful robe and being thrown into the pit. And then his brothers, there is a trade route right near Dothan where caravans walk by, and his brothers see merchants and they say, hey, woohoo, we could sell him. Let's make some money out of this. And they sell Joseph as a slave. Joseph goes down into Egypt where he serves as a slave. And as the story continues, Joseph's life continues to turn on a dime. He goes from slavery into prison, and from prison, because he's been gifted with the interpretation of dreams, he becomes eventually Pharaoh's right-hand man. And through all of this change and wildness and chaos in his life, Joseph seems to keep a very even keel. And that's what I want to talk to you about today. Joseph has focus. Joseph has the right perspective. No matter what happens to him, Joseph never seems to despair. He never cries out, "Why are you doing this to me, God?" He never says, "I just want to die." He never says, "I'm not where I should be." Instead, Joseph always seems to be focused on what God is asking of him. He's not thinking about himself. He's thinking about God. Joseph's life doesn't belong to himself. It belongs to God. And so no matter what happens to him through all of this chaos, he never seems to lose his focus. He always seems to be asking God, "What do you need me to do in this situation?" And it is that perspective that enables Joseph to save his entire people. For when there is a famine, his family and brothers are able to move into Egypt, where Joseph provides for them. I want to talk to you about focus and about perspective. Because I believe that faith has much more to do with how we choose to view God's role in our own lives than it does with any kind of content. In other words, God wants you to spend your time focused on Christ and not focused on yourself. And the answer to most of the troubles that we seem to have in this world has to do with our focus. In today's gospel, Jesus has been praying all night, and the disciples are out on a boat, and Jesus wants to get to the boat, so he starts walking on the water. Something that obviously none of us are capable of doing, right? And the disciples see Jesus coming, and of course, they're terrified because that's not something people do. So they assume it's a ghost. And Jesus says, "Don't be afraid, take heart. It's just me." Jesus has to say that a lot, as do the angels. "Don't be afraid. I know I can do things that are way out of the box, but I still love you, and I'm right here for you." So Peter sees Jesus coming, and Peter says, "Lord, if it's really you, then tell me to come to you, and I'll do it." I love Peter. He just is willing to put himself out there, isn't he? Even though he ends up looking like a fool half the time, Peter is a risk taker. And so he says, "Lord, I'll come to you. Just call me." And Jesus says, "Come. Come to me." And Peter is looking at Jesus, and he steps out onto the water. And Peter walks on the water, not for long, but Peter, a regular human being, is able to do the miraculous because for just a moment, he is focused on the right thing, which is Jesus. And then the wind blows, and the waves start, and what happens? Peter gets distracted, and he starts thinking not about Jesus. His focus leaves Jesus and goes to himself, and he says, "Uh-oh, whoa, the wind is blowing. Whoa, the waves are going. Oh, my God, how am I doing this?" And he starts to sink. And he says, "Lord, help me," and Jesus pulls him up and says, "Oh, you of little faith. Oh, you who don't have the right focus." You see, so long as we spend our lives worrying about ourselves and worrying about our lives and how we're doing and what's happening next, or our cities that are exploding, or the fact that we may be going into nuclear war, there's a lot of stuff to worry about, isn't there? That's the thing in this world. There's always a lot of stuff to worry about. And your life, it can turn on a dime, whether it's through illness or conflict or the loss of a job. I don't know what's going to happen next. I really can't tell you. But you can be guaranteed that your life is going to try to distract you and take your focus off of God. And it is very, very easy. In fact, our minds are inclined to be completely consumed with our own selves. In fact, when you wake up in the morning, most likely you think about yourself. How are you doing? What are you doing? What is your day going to look like? What are you going to wear? Everything about our culture trains our minds to be consumed with ourselves. Everything. And the harder our lives are, the more we have the propensity to worry and be consumed with ourselves. And I'll tell you, that is how you sink. Your life does not belong to you. Your life is not something that you have control over, not totally. Your life belongs to God. And the only way you will live the fullness of your life is by allowing God to work through you. The only way you can reach the fullness of who you are created to be is to take that focus off of yourself and your problems and put it onto Christ. And that takes discipline, and that takes practice. Why does the church tell us to pray? Not because God needs it, because we need it. We need to practice focusing our minds on God. It is our only hope. Last week, we had an old man come and pray with us, Albert Leibnitz. Many of you are here. Albert is 92 years old. He's bent over from osteoporosis. He can't hear very well, but he spends all of his time praying for other people. In fact, while he was in Jacksonville, every weekday, he went to the prisons where he prayed for gang members. So this is no ordinary 92-year-old man. He's not consumed with his health or how he's doing. He is consumed with trying to do what God wants him to do. And when I asked Albert, I said, Albert, you're incredible. I mean, not only does God often hear your prayers, but how are you able to do this at 92? And you know what Albert said? He said, I don't do it. God does it. Every morning when I wake up, I just say, what do you want me to do today, God? And when you say to Albert, thank you for praying for me, he says, oh no, Jesus did it. I just get in the middle. Jesus is healing you. Jesus is praying for you. Jesus is helping you. I'm just a tool. I'm just a vessel. I just do whatever the Lord asks me to do. Now that man has gotten focused on the right thing. You know, there is a neurological scientist whose name is Caroline Leaf, Dr. Caroline Leaf. And she has published a number of books. One of her books is called Brain Detox. Isn't that an interesting title? Brain Detox. Her theory is that you can change your thinking by choosing to focus on certain thoughts. You can change your thinking by choosing to focus on certain thoughts. So in other words, every morning we're going to wake up and we're going to be full of self, right? We're going to be consumed with worries, or we're going to be worried about our day, or we're going to be criticizing ourselves or whatever. We all do this. Dr. Leaf says, write all those thoughts down verbatim in some kind of a mess on a piece of paper. And somewhere in the midst of all your cacophony of noise and worry about the world and yourself, there may be a thought that is higher. A thought that comes from love and not from self-absorption. Try to find just one such thought, she says, and focus on that and that alone. Repeat it to yourself for the rest of the day, whatever loving thought you had for yourself or for others. And she instructs people to do this for 21 days, and she calls it brain detox. She suggests that if you turn your mind to focus on love, that eventually your neurons will actually reprogram themselves. The noise of worry and self-absorption, it won't go away, but it will quiet over time with practice. And you will learn to focus on the one who called you into being, the one who is capable of great miracles, the one who knows how to change this troubled world and who can lead us in doing that. The only one worth focusing on. So I guess it's up to us. We stand there in the water like Peter. We can choose to let the swirl of life distract us into self-absorption, and we can sink our way down into the chaos, or we can choose to look up, to get over ourselves, to focus on the one who is truly wise, the one who loves us and calls to us. Come. Amen.